This morning's shir is sponsored by Dr. Simpson Lili Nishmas, his father, Harav Shimon Aaron Ben Rav Eliyahu, whose yahrzeit, his fourth yahrzeit, is today. And it should be a schus for his neshama, continued Eloi for his neshama. He should be a melech yosher for you, the entire mishpacha. Dr. Yossi. So you don't have the sources, but you have in front of you a piece of paper, because let's start this way. It happens to be that this is a very timely topic to be talking about shira, to be talking about song. There are numerous midrashim. There's a mechilta, there's a seichelta, there's numerous midrashim which say that, in fact, that if you look out throughout all of Tanakh, there are, in fact, 10 songs. It's not just the number of songs that we're about to encounter, there are 10 songs. So I'd like to start off with is, if you could just take a slip of paper, and let's each of us give an attempt to try to get those 10 songs before we even endeavor to get them, because there may be a little more than 10 songs ultimately. So I'd like you to, let's all invest ourselves by just taking one moment to think of the 10 songs we can list. Okay, so while we're doing it, I'm just going to start and I'm handing this direction. I think you could just take and send. And Dr. Berlin, if you could just take and send. We're going to now a little bit of the source sheets. So there are a number of songs that span Tanakh, and what I'd like to do with you is in a much nicer way than I have the top 10, which keeps changing on the radio based on your vote. We're going to go to the vote of the Mechilta. We're going to take a look at the Midrashim as they see these songs. And we should realize that if you search the word shir or shira in Tanakh, it appears many more than 10 times. You go through Tehillim, as a matter of fact, you'll find numerous appearances of the word shir or shira. Mizmor shir. Nonetheless, there are 10 ones which are significant. And what's interesting is that there's a little bit of a dispute among them, so there's a little space for your creativity in your answers over here. So first of all, it's a midrash in Seichel Tov, and Mechilta, I brought one of the midrashim. We're not going to go through the midrash, instead we're going to delve straight in. First of all, just before we even get there, just the words of Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch is quite remarkable. What Rav Hirsch does is he expands a concept based on its, we'll call it etymological background of what the word means. And he says in source 2, he says, Ashira, he says, Shir karov l'shagar. The word shir is similar to the word shagar, which is to send, sachar, to rent or to outsource, and sheker, falsehood. Why? Vaharasa, what it is coming to show us, im kein lotzur tzura chitzonis l'machshavois l'hargos shois shehis oreru b'leiv p'nima. They are expression to a rich internal world, which is being manifest externally. That's what's going on over here in terms of what a shir is, to send out, to outsource. Sheker is falsehood, which means to say there's a veil above the inner. Uderech klal says maba nilhav, it gives expression. Lama hisrachshus chitzonis gilsa liliboy shel adam. It's an expression of that which is in the heart of the human being. So here we're going to go through a few of those examples. The first song is probably the most hard to actually grasp, and that is, according to one opinion, is in fact Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShavos. Chronologically, this is the first song, because this song is attributed to none other than the first human being to experience Shabbos. Look at the Gemara. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us in Daf Lamed Amud Beis. Tanya Yehuda Oimer Mishum Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda would say the name of Rabbi Akiva, and again, he's talking about now our daily songs, which are reflected by the Levium. Mayu Amri, what do they say? Is sing La Hashem Aretz Mla'a. What we just say after Shachris, or what we're about to say after Shachris is La Hashem Aretz Mla'a. La Hashem has the entire world. Why? Al Shem Shekona V'Hikna V'Shalik Balama. He owns everything. Why? Because creation occurred on day one. V'Sheni on the second day. Mayu Amrim God Al Hashem Mula Ma'od. Al Shem Shechilek Ma'asav U'Malach Aleihem. Why is it that he's great and so praised? Because he divided his creation and ruled over them. What did he divide? Day two, he divided the two layers of the waters, the upper and lower waters, the firmament. That's the word they use. Yeah. Stands in the Adaskel, Hashem Shigilo Eretz Bechachmosoichin Tevel Adasai, that he established something to stand upon for humanity. So what's the theme of all these songs? What are they reflecting? What are the Levium songs reflecting? They're reflecting the evolutionary process of Ma'aseh Bereishis. That every day there was a development in Ma'aseh Bereishis. So that's what we have over here. So then when we come to the last time, the last day, jumping to the very end, why do we say Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos? Because it was said, according to this rendition in the Gemara, because it was said upon the first Shabbos when Shabbos was first created. More than that, the Midrash in Vayikra Rabba says a fascinating episode which actually gave rise to this song, which is in Source 5. Vayetze Kayin, Kayin left. Mehechan Yotza, Reb Yudan B'Shem Rebi Aivu Omar, Hivshil B'godav La'achorav Yotza K'goinev Da'as El Yonah. He put his clothes on his back and he ran away as if stealing the divine knowledge. Rabbi Brechi b'Shem Rabbi Eloi bar Shemaya Omar Yotza Kamarim uKamirma b'Boyer Oi. He was walking away deceitfully from his creator. Rav Huna b'Shem Rabbi Chanina bar Yisak Omar Yotza Sameach K'mod Teimar v'Gam Hinehu Yotza Likrosecha v'Rav v'Samach. Okay, now this is the part that's important to us. Kevon sheYotza Poga ba'Adam Arishon. He meets his father. Right, so after killing his brother, he meets his father. Adam Arishon. Amaloi ma naase bedincha. What happens with your din? What did Hashem say to you? Amaloi asisi tshuva v'nis pasharti. I did tshuva, and to some degree there was amelioration. Kevon sheshama Adam Arishon kach hischil tofech upon him. He was hitting himself on his face. Amaloi kol kach he koicha shel tshuva v'lo yisi yodea. But I didn't realize how powerful. Here you have the first homicide in history, and there was some form of tshuva which kind was able to attain. He wasn't killed for it. He says, "Ba'os Hashah, Amar Adam Arishon, Mizmor Shel Yom HaShavos." At that point in time was when he said, "Mizmor Shel Yom HaShavos." How does that? What's that got to do with it? What's that got to do with it? I mean, how does Mizmor Shel Yom HaShavos relate to that thematically to that realization that Adam had with the sin of Cain, which was very much at this point in creation? Okay, so interesting. So it could be the idea of Sheves as return itself. I had not thought about it from that perspective. But in the actual theme of the Mizmor itself, you'll see something interesting happening. And that is the general theme of Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos is God's ultimate plan. Right? Bishomdom Adiyad. There's Tzadikim, there's Rishayim. Don't worry. When you see bad people doing things, Hashem's going to take care of them. The righteous will forever be refreshed. They will receive their reward ultimately. There's going to be ultimate din v'cheshbon. The idea of Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos is reflecting God's reality and saying, wait a second, there is a plan. There's something. It's meaningful. There's somewhere we're going. There's somewhere we're not going. Adam Arishon was saying that not only on the notion of experiencing the first Shabbos, but having a moment where we've stepped out of the regular and have to a perspective of the world's process of judgment, which is not within the confines of this world, which is why we said on Shabbos, L'yom Shekula Shabbos, ultimately when you have the perspective of a nether world where we're able to see everything backwards. This is what Adam was experiencing both in Shabbos and also experientially with his son. That's what we see in the first song. The other option, which is suggested by the Midrash, is a most unusual one, and I would never have guessed it myself, and that is that, which actually relates to yesterday's parasha, is that apparently there was a shir which was sung. There was a song which was sung in Egypt, not by the actual Kriyas Yamsov. There was a song sung in Egypt. How do we know this? The Pesukim in Yeshaya says the following. Yeshaya is living and referring to the times of Sancheiriv as he attacks Yerushalayim and all of the northern kingdom. And he says in Source 6, he says, Hinei Shem Hashem ba mimerchok boyer apo v'koyved ma'asoh. He talks about the word of Hashem coming in anger. Sosav moluzam ulushona ke'esh acheles. Then in Pasuk Lamed Chavtes, he says, Hashir yiyeh lochem. There will be a song. When you're saved from this terrible anger, from the impending enemy, Hashir yiyeh lochem kelel hiskadesh chag. You're gonna. There'll be a song they'll be sung like the time when the Chag came in, referring to, as the Mefarshim say, Pesach, which means that on the night of Pesach, there was, in fact, a Shira itself. I think that's fascinating in terms of Halacha, because we have a reflection of that. Where is that? What is that? In the Seder, right? I mean, our meal is integrated, so to speak, that we're in the middle of the Hallel is where we put the meal. Right? Our meal is completely embraced and covered by the song itself, which is almost reflective of what Yeshaya is referring to over here. But this is a very much oblique reference, because as you know, there's no reference to this specifically or explicitly in Yetzias Mitzrayim itself, but nonetheless Yeshaya says, going back, there was even a song on the first days of Pesach, not just the last days of Pesach. And this is interesting because if you want to think about the Hallel that's done on the first 2 days of Pesach as opposed to the Hallel on the last 2 days of Pesach, it's a full Hallel at the beginning. Okay, fascinating. Just to put that into perspective. That is song number one. Two very, very unknown songs. In fact, this is why it's important to know. When you go to Tehillim, most of us think that who edited Tehillim is David HaMelech. Now, it's true that David HaMelech was the ultimate redactor according to the Gemara. Nonetheless, there were 10 that the Gemara lists, and Baba Basra, that there were 10 authors of Tehillim, starting with Adam HaRishon, because Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos was Adam HaRishon. He was the original author of that Mizmor, which carried its way through to history until David HaMelech incorporated it into Tehillim itself. Third song is the most obvious and the one we're most likely to get, and that is Shiras Hayam. Az Yashir Moshe V'nei Yisrael Asa Shira Azos. This is the most explicit, clear song we have at in the earlier reaches of Tanakh. Of course, the structure is important. This is what's called in Halacha. Anybody familiar with the term? What's the structure called halachically? This is called Ariach Agabe Leveina. We're talking about half bricks on top of bricks. So as you know, when you're laning it, you look at the structure of it. It's almost like a wall in terms of the way the bricks are structured. We're going to get into that a little bit later on, what the significance of that structure is, because numerous songs in Tanakh will bear that same prototype. So this is Az Yashir Moshe Ben Israel. Fascinating thing about to think about in terms of the song is tense. The song is very hard to understand, right? Because on the one hand, it sounds like Oz Yashir, they will sing. But on the other hand, we know that they actually sang it then. Rashi deals with going backwards and forwards to try to understand this. In fact, this is where Chazal say, this is Mikan Remes, Tchias HaMeisim. In fact, Chazal say that there's a Remes to Tchias HaMeisim somehow in this Shira. Fascinating point, because if you think about it, let's just imagine this for a moment. They are singing, there's probably not a single Jew, there's not a single Israelite standing on the banks of the Yamsuf at this point in time who's not lost a relative. Because if we're going according to the Midrash, the Chamushim Alu B'nai Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim, that 1/5 of them left, and 80% of them died, who could possibly say that they were immune to having lost somebody in their family or distant family? Nonetheless, they said Shira Alayom. Because isn't this interesting? This Shira incorporates into it the realization and hope that although they lost people, that ultimately there's going to be a Tchias HaMeisim. You see, it's not just randomly attributed to this point in time where there's Shira. The Shira itself comes at the ultimate, the capstone of the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which up till now was very bitter. Think about the losses. Think about what they had to undergo to get to this point. At this capstone moment, then they sing and says, Chazal, Oz Yashir. That's going to be the ultimate experience where we also look back and say, well, there was a plan ultimately here. Oz Yashir, we're going to have that song again. This is what Chazal say in this, and Mechilta brings in the future and the past. One of the fascinating things to contemplate within this Shira is one of the most difficult concepts, which is rejoicing over death. But ultimately, what are they rejoicing about? Are they rejoicing that they were saved, or are they rejoicing that the Egyptians were killed? The two are somewhat intertwined. Because remember, their exodus, their salvation, is dependent on the fact that there's nobody chasing them. The Gemara really struggles with this concept. Because this is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Tesem Beis, Source 14, next on page 4.
Is it so unusual to celebrate a victory in a war?
Great, yeah. Meaning, is there no space for that? Right? Shouldn't we be happy when... Right? There's no question. Shouldn't we be successful? Notice this is the first of the songs, and we're going to have to follow this throughout, is how many of the songs are going to be about avoid Rishayim, in the destruction of Rishayim. Here's a prime example. And when, in fact, the Midrash goes so far as to say that, when do they actually sing? They sing when they see the corpses of the Egyptians washed up upon the land, and they realize that the Egyptians didn't just stop at the sea, but the Egyptians were killed by the sea. That's when they sang their song. Right? Because otherwise, if it hadn't been that way, then all that the only problem is that there's just a sea between the two of them, but they're still around. So they only sang when they actually saw the downfall. Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, He says, "Ba'avod Rishayim Rina." Quoting a pasuk in Mishre, when the Rishayim die or are destroyed, there is rejoicing. Be'ibud Achav ben Omri Rina, and it refers to a specific case in Tanakh by Achav. Okay. Umi chadi kutcho brichu ba'mapaloson shel Rishayim. Does Hashem really rejoice over the destruction of His creations, albeit evil? Haksiv, the pasuk in Devarim Yamim says, "B'seis lefonav acholot v'arim hodu l'Hashem ki lolem chastoy." Arim Yochanan ibnei Ma lo neema b'hoida azu kitoiv. In Devarim Yamim, we're going to get to that. They praised Hashem, but they never said that Hashem is fully good. They just said thanks to Hashem for His eternal kindness, but they never said good. Why lefisha ein Hakadosh Baruch Hu sameach b'maparos on Rishayim? Because Hashem isn't happy about that. Amar Rabbi Yishmo Bar Nachman, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ma'idir Sivu Loi Korav Zel Zeh Kol HaLayla, that the two forces of Egypt and Israel did not approach one another. Boiz Asha Bikshu Malachi Asharis Loi Mashir Lefina Elefina HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malachi Asharis, the celestial court, wanted to sing song, and nonetheless Hashem says, Amar Loi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ma'asa Yod HaTovim V'yom HaTem Omer Mishira. What's happening is my creations are about to die in the sea, and you're going to sing? So how do you put the two of these together? B'avod Rishayim Rina. On the other hand, Hashem doesn't want to see His creations died. Omar Reb Yosi Bar Chanina, Hu Einosos Aval Acherim Meisus. Hashem Himself doesn't celebrate, but we celebrate, or He causes others to celebrate. Which Rav Menashe Klein says in his Tshuvas on this particular point. This is the way he summarizes the Gemara. Mevuar in the next source, Hachilo Kanir Leil Da Iba Ivud Rishayim Rina Lifnei Adam. That's a remarkable statement. What that means to say is that for us as human beings, we only have the capacity to be able to see and appreciate things in a very small, in a small radius or scope of understanding. And therefore, in our perspective, we understand that this is evil. They're trying to hurt us. They're trying to hurt the cause of God. When they disappear, therefore we rejoice. Hashem is such a bigger perspective that ultimately they're even part of the puzzle and the loss of them is painful, which is a remarkable perspective. That's the depths of Hashem's perspective. Nonetheless, we say Shira. The angels and HaKadosh Baruch Hu don't say Shira, which is captured in this Oz Yashir. It's nonetheless reflected somewhere in Halacha, and that is? So the Hallel on the last days of Pesach, according to the is reflective of this, is that today we don't say the Hallel, interestingly enough. So nonetheless, that's an interesting manifestation of this in the reflection, that we still don't go that far many generations later. This is the Shira and what it lends itself to. The fourth Shira is in fact starts with the same words. Unless this is your Bar Mitzvah parasha, you're most likely not to guess. This is in Parshas Chukas. There is another Oz Yashir in the Torah, and that is Oz Yashir Yisrael Es Ashira Hazois Ali Ve'er Enula in Parashas Chukas. They sing about the well, right? All the Balei Kriya are nodding their heads. That's right, because this is almost the same song. Notice something interesting. What happens over here is the well disappears because Miriam dies. Then what happens is they have no water, they have no food. The well returns after Moshe hits the rock. They sing a song based on the well. Notice the interesting parallels to Oz Yashir in the first Oz Yashir. Also over here, is it over water? Also says the Midrash, why do they sing? What precipitates their singing over here? Is that Israel was going through a valley, Transjordan, east side of the Jordan. They were going through a valley, and the Amorite laid an ambush for them. They waited in the caves at the top of the valley. They were going to shoot down all types of ballistics to the Israelites who were calmly passing through the valley. The valley's closed before Israel passed through, squashing the Amorite and killing them. Israel passed through without realizing what they just passed through. How did they realize the imminent destruction that they were facing? Because the body parts and the blood came up in the well afterwards as a sign to them to show them that they had actually just passed by imminent death. What you see over here is a fascinating parallel, according to the Midrash, is that this Oz Yashir is patterned after the previous Oz Yashir, where the water is that which gives rise to the realization of their salvation. And that's why it's patterned the same way. Also water. Notice that, interestingly enough, that this Shira is the end period of the desert. This is when they're about to leave the desert. The Oz Yashir at the beginning was where they're about to enter into the desert. There's many fascinating parallels. Over there the sea was split. Here the valleys combine when it comes to the destruction of the Rishayim. There's a lot of fascinating parallels to draw out of this. One thing which is interesting is what is missing in this Shira? Moshe. Notice that it is not identical in the first pasuk. It is Oz Yashir Moshe Uvene Yisrael at the beginning. Song 3. Song 4 is Oz Yashir, Yisrael. Moshe is no longer there. Why is Moshe no longer there in Parshas Chukas? So it does come after Aaron. You're right, Mr. Pratt. Interestingly enough, so the Sassemis and Minim and the Forshim say it is because this was after Meim River. The water that had come from the return of the world had been in the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't there. But now the other Meforshim say, you know what's actually going on? Is this is the sign, this is the emblem of a real leader. The emblem of a real leader is when he starts off his leadership, you know, he is the CEO, everybody's listening to his orders. He's the person who's in charge of everything. What's the sign of a successful career? Is when Yashir Yisrael is Ashir Azais, where he doesn't need to be the person standing at the front holding the baton as the choir master. Because that's really what it counts. So this is the transformation of the desert experience is as Yashir Yisrael, it's only Yisrael, no longer Moshe Rabbeinu. Song 4. Fascinating idea over here. Let's take it even further. Now we start getting exciting. There's an interesting song over here, which is in fact a whole parasha, which is Ha'azinu. Notice the structure of Ha'azinu, as you know, is very different. For those who like to do a Haggadah, this is an easy way to say that you lifted six columns. Okay, so you just because here you have the Ha'azinu is set up in parallel columns as opposed to the Ariach al Gabe Levenos structure of Oz Yashir. And Ha'azinu has a very different theme altogether than Oz Yashir is the Shiras that we've seen up to now. It's not about an event. What is Ha'azinu about? Ha'azinu is really about the future. Ha'azinu is where Hashem says, I'm going to give a song which is going to be testimony to the entire Jewish history, which is going to come back to either reward you or bite you. Ha'azinu Shemai Vadaberes Tishmah Aretz Imrefi means to say that the two permanent beings in this world, which are the heavens and the earth themselves, which are going to be the vehicles of facilitation of either that bite or that reward, are going to be here to hear that this is what I'm telling you. And this is the summary of Jewish history. You take your choice as to where you're going to go in it. That's what Ha'azinu is. Ad Kedei Kach, this is such an integral song in Jewish history, that in fact the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah comes from this place. The Torah tells us, V'ata kisu lachem es ha-shira azos. The Torah says, now you shall write this shira. What's it referring to? Most basically it refers to the Shir of Ha'azinu. You should write this song down because it's so important. It's so important historically and in terms of your mission as a nation. Nonetheless, says the Rambam, when quoting this, in source 20, the Rambam says, Mitzvos Aseh, I'll call you Ish v'Ish mi-Yisrael, Lichtov Sefer Torah la'atzmoy shenemar, V'atok kisu lachem es ha-shir ha-zois. You should write this song. Kelomar, kisu lachem Torah sheyesh bo ha-shira, zu lefi she'en koisines ha-Torah parashiyos. When it says write down the Shira, you can't write a Torah in half. You can't write a little piece of it. So it must mean it's referring to the entire being. More than that. It says the Ksava Kabbalah. Rabbi Yaakov C. Mecklenburg says that, in fact, the notion of Shir is a metaphor for Torah. Because song, as opposed to vision, you know, when you look at a landscape, you see a picture. It takes a split second to absorb all the pixels, to absorb the entire picture. Now, you can analyze it. You can spend time looking into the depths beyond that. But, you know, we've all experienced that time where you see a scene which you never wanted to see, or you didn't imagine seeing, and you can't erase that from your mind in that split second. When it comes to a shira is sequential, says Raya the Ksava Kabbalah, which means to say you only get the perspective as you have a flow of tonal notes going into one another, or words which flow into another, and then you build up the entire picture. He says that's why the Torah is used metaphorically as a shira, because the Torah doesn't make sense when you just take a snapshot of one little piece and then say, I've got it. You have to have the entire picture, because the Torah completes and corroborates itself the more you understand it. Ha'azinu steps out of the regular shira of being a historic, in terms of referring to a specific event, but rather is more of a mission. And this has ramifications in terms of the mitzvah of Kisiva Sefer Torah. Let's take it further. The fifth song is actually quite remarkable. This occurs at a very unique juncture in Jewish history. This is the song of Yehoshua ben Nun. What happens? Yehoshua is fighting numerous battles. They fight Yericho, they fight Ha'ai, then they start fighting these coalitions. What happens is after they make peace with the Gibeonites, then what happens is there's a number of coalitions of Canaanite kings who get together, Canaanite and Amorites, who want to destroy, first of all, the people who make peace, and then Israel. And in this particular battle, what happens is something very unusual happens, is Israel's winning the battle, they're chasing their enemies, but they're going to lose their enemies because the sun is going down. It's going to be night fall. If the night falls, they're going to escape. They escape. They're going to recoalesce their forces, and they're going to still be potent. So what happens is Oz Yedaber Yoshua in source 22. Oz Yedaber Yoshua La Hashem Vayom Tastes Amori Lifnei Yunei Israel Vayomer Lenei Israel Shemesh Begivon Dom V'Yoreach Be'Emek Ayalon. Yoshua turns to the heavens and he says, "Sun, stop! Stop the rotation." Vayidoim Hashemesh V'Yoreach Amad Yikom Goy Oivov Haloyiksuv Al Sefer Yoshar. That the sun stopped, and this accounting is written in Sefer Yoshar. What that means, what Sefer Yoshar is referring to, is fascinating. Not for now. Vayamod Hashemesh B'chatzi Hashemayim V'Lo'otz Lovoy Kiyom Tamim. The sun stopped while they fought the enemies. There was no day in all of history that was like this. Lishma Hashem B'Kol Ish Ki Hashem Nilcham Yisrael. And this over here is referring to, when it says that it was written in Sefer Yoshua, is referring to the song that Yoshua sang when the sun stopped as he was able to completely decimate all of his enemies. A beautiful, very unusual song over here. We don't have the text of the song. We have the reference to the song in Tanakh over here. I think, in fact, I left Oz Yedaber Yoshua. The Midrash learns from here is when Yoshua's Oz. That Oz is referring to the same Oz Yashir, the Oz Yedaber Yoshua, is the same type of song which is referred to over here. If you want to dig it deeper, we're not going to do it inside. The Midrash Tanchuma says something so remarkably beautiful about this. What does the word Dom mean? You see, oh, he orders the sun to stop. What's the word he uses? Dom means?
Silence.
You Dom Aron. Aron was silence. You see what's going on over here? Says the Midrash Tanchuma. Something absolutely remarkable. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Yeshua is making a request which is almost unimaginable. He's saying to the sun, don't carry on doing your purpose. Stop moving. Let's hold everything in place. You have to imagine now from our knowledge of what's going on in astronomy today, you have to make that the whole system has to stop. It's not just one isolated planet or body which is stopping. Stop the whole system. The sun, says the Midrash, refused to listen because that's its tafkid. So Yeshua says, you know what? I want you to keep quiet from singing your shira by doing your movement. Because ultimately when you move, when the earth rotates, when the birds wake up in the morning and sing song, when the grass grows, that is all the shira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is all the song of Hashem. When he's saying stop, he's saying stop singing. Therefore I'll sing in your place. That's what Yeshua was doing. Yeshua had to sing over here because he was silencing the world from singing to Hashem. That's what Yoshua's song was. Not just about his enemies, but about the power of Hashem in the absence of the world doing what it is supposed to. Fascinating, fascinating idea. This next shira is the shira we'll hear this Shabbos. We are about to relayne Shabbos shira Parshas V'Shalach, and the Haftorah, of course, is one of the longest Haftorahs in all of Torah, which is Shiras Devorah. Patterned, as you notice, it's also Ariach Al Gabe Levena. It's in the same structure in Tanakh as the shira of Oz Yashir. Of course, if you go through the Tanakh in Perek Dalad in Shoftim, before you get to Perek Hay, you will notice as well that the downfall of Sisera's army was in the Nachal Kishon, in the brook of Kishon, and there's a lot of miracles which are talked about in this Shira as the brook bubbled up. You know, this is before Tolkien got it, you know, in the first book of Lord of the Rings, right, where the river takes over. That's where he got it from. He was reading Shiras Devorah, where the river bubbled up and boiled and destroyed all the horsemen of Sisera's army. That's what occurred over here. Again, isn't it interesting that it's, of course, via water? Right, this Shira of Devorah, Vatoshar Devorah, Ubarak ben Avi Noam b'Yamahu Leimor, that is referring to the ultimate victory, which was through water. But it goes further than that. The Midrash says, and the Midrash Lekach Tov says over here, is that when you look at the first Shira of Shiras Abair, so Shiras Yamsuf, you see that the order is first male, then female. Right? First it's Moshe uvnei Yisrael, and then it's Miriam. Over here, it's the opposite. It's Devorah singing, and then Barak ben Avinoam. Why says the Midrash Seichel Lekach Tov? Because in this particular victory, it was because of two women, and those two women were Devorah, who was the one who waged the war, and Yael, who killed Sisera in the end of the day. And therefore, this song has a very much a feminine connotation. The females precede the males in terms of facilitating this victory, which is perhaps the high point of all of Sefer Shoftim, because it goes downhill there afterwards.
She was a shofetah.
She was a shofetah, no question, right. But what's interesting is that when she reaches out to Barak is not so interested in taking part of that, and she has to pull him along. So therefore, the song is reflective of that victory being, in fact, facilitated by her. Song number six. This one is there's two options over here. One is the tefillah of Chana. It's called a tefillah, Vatispalel Chana. But in fact, it is a song we read as Avtara on Rosh Hashanah. This is in Source 26. Is that Alatz Libi BaHashem Ramak Harnim BaHashem. Hashem has given me salvation, has given me children. And what's fascinating about this song is it's very personal and it's very national at the same time. When you read the song of Chana, on the one hand, it's very much she's talking about what happened to her. I was barren, I was oppressed, I was made fun of, and now I have children. But if you start reading deeper into it, look at the way the song closes. It says, Hashem yechatu mirivav, olav ha-shamayim yareim Hashem. Yodin ha-shayaretz, Hashem will judge his enemies. V'yitzen ozlum al-ko v'yorim kerem mishicha, he'll rise and bring about his Messiah. It turns from the personal to the national, from the individual to the communal. Because, as the Mephoshim say, that what was happening over here was that prophetically, Chana was able to look inside and see her personal distress, her personal salvation, and approximate it outwards to everybody else and everything else. What happened was that not only did it become something which was a personal poetry, it turned into something which was grander, bigger, had a grander scale, and had the prophetic resonance for all of history. If we have time, it's beautiful to just appreciate the three stages of a song, the chiasm within the song. There's so much going on in this particular song. Of course, in the last words, when he gives Oiz Lamalko, when he gives strength to his king, and gives the Keren Meshichoi, there were two kings that her son Shmuel, who she's singing about, appointed, and they were Shaul and David, and those are referred to both in the last words over here, the idea of Malkoi and Meshichoi, because those are the two people that here ultimately, the son ultimately anointed. Another option for this song is a song that Shlomo HaMelech sings, which is Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid. What's this referring to? We say this every morning. Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis refers to the building of the Beis HaMikdash, right? Why, if Shlomo HaMelech is singing it, because Shlomo builds it, why is it in David's name? Why do we say Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid? It wasn't David's house, it was Shlomo HaMelech's house. Why? So David HaMelech prepared everything, so ultimately he prepared it, but even deeper than that. What was at stake over here was David's own legacy. Because remember what happens is there's a number of reasons why David can't make the house. But when people are looking back at this, and they're living at the times of Shlomo HaMelech, and they're reading the newspaper, and they're trying to work out why it is that David HaMelech did not build the house, they are saying, you know what it is? David HaMelech sinned. The whole sin of Bathsheba, you know what that was? That was the downfall of David. David HaMelech didn't succeed because of that sin. When Shlomo HaMelech, the son of David and Bathsheba, was able to make the house, and the house was successful, this was the ultimate expression of true forgiveness that Hashem gave David HaMelech. Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid means that when the Beis HaMikdash was built, Hashem is saying publicly to the world, this is the Shir of the Chanukas Habayis LeDavid. David HaMelech truly, truly, truly underwent the necessary tshuva, and this house is in his name. There's numerous midrashim, actually even based on the Mizmor we said this morning about the Su'u Sharim Rasheichem, how the gates wouldn't let the Aaron in the first time around, and they thought it was David's sin. That's why we say it twice, when the gates open up a second time around, when we bring the Aaron in. That's why we sing it at the end of Simchas Torah, when we're bringing the Torahs back to the Aaron, as representative of that original attempt to bring the Aaron to the Beis HaMikdash, and the success. Song number 8. The song number 8 is a song which is found in Shmuel Chof Beis. Shmuel Beis Chof Beis. Very, very long song. It is a Haftorah towards the end of Pesach. We get a lot of Jewish songs come from this song of David. And you have to ask yourself, wait a second. David HaMelech wrote many songs. Look at all the Tehillim. Well, why is this very special? Why is this different? So Rashi tells us on page 10, source 31. You know what's different about this song? David HaMelech lived a very tough life. He was hunted. He was ostracized by his brothers. He was hunted by his father-in-law. He had rebellions from two of his different sons. He had a son which of his who rebelled against him. He didn't want to kill, but was killed, and he mourned even though the son was trying to kill him. He lived a very, very tough life. At the end of his life, he sings a song. And he goes through all of his life and he says, this is all orchestration of Hashem. What's interesting about this is if you open up Tehillim Perek Yud Ches, you will see almost verbatim the same song. There's many differences, but almost verbatim is the same song. You know when we say in benching, Migdol Magdil? That's from the song, right? Migdol Yeshua's Malko, Magdil Yeshua's Malko is the last pasuk, is in fact from Tehillim Yud Ches. It's a discrepancy between Tehillim Yud Ches and Shmuel Beis, Chof Beis. That's why, in fact, they have. It used to be. Some people say that it used to be in the benches. It used to be Shin Beis with an apostrophe, which means Shmuel Beis. That's where the Migdol was. But then some people they say that the printers turned that into Shabbos. Right, that's why we say it, Shabbos. I don't think that. I think there's more to it than simply a printing mistake. But nonetheless, there are two expressions of this. Why are there two times that he says this? The Al-Sheikh says something remarkable. And this is what happens. He says, you know, when you look at Shmuel, at the whole Sefer Shmuel, David HaMelech, and you look at Tehillim, there are many times where you can say, well, what's he singing about? And in fact, many times in Tehillim, it makes it clear what he's singing about. There's now in the 50s. You go through the one after the other, it's about instances in which David HaMelech faced. The Ziphim are chasing him, Avshalom's chasing him, Shaul's chasing him. There's all different times of his life. How do they relate? Meaning, is this simply David's experience? So Al-Sheikh says there were different ways in which David experienced song. Some songs are based on the Midrash, are when David HaMelech was purely inspired by his experience, and he sang a song, and in the end of the day, Hashem joined in and said, you know, there's a special ruach in this song. There were other songs David HaMelech sang in his life where he didn't start, he didn't initiate. Hashem said, David HaMelech, you need to sing this. And he latched on, he locked him into a certain Ruach HaKodesh, and David HaMelech then was inspired by the Ruach HaKodesh to sing. There are different directions which David HaMelech sang. And sometimes the Midrash says, it depends on whether it says, Le David Mizmor or Mizmor Le David. Might be the distinguishing factor in these different types of songs. Says the Al-Sheikh, that's what's going on over here. The song in Shmuel Beis is David HaMelech saying, Hashem, look at my life, it all worked out. That was his own experience. In Tehillim, Hashem says, you know what? That's such a beautiful song that you just said. I'm going to take that and modify it slightly so that it should be a song which is for all ages, for all people, for all experience. And that's what we see in Tehillim. That's just a fascinating, interesting idea in general with the songs of David HaMelech which are being patterned over here. Song number 9, there are two options, and they are Shir HaShirim Asher LiShlamon. Then the Song of Songs. Why is it the Song of Songs? Were there others? So the Midrash says that in fact, yes, there were others. Shlomo HaMelech wrote thousands of songs, but this was the ultimate of all the songs that Shlomo HaMelech wrote, prophetically, was incorporated into Tanakh. Whereas other people, I saw that Tzror Amor and Parshas Beshalach says, it's not just the Shir HaShirim of Shlomo, it's of all songs of all ages, that if you go through this carefully, and he does, he shows you how all the other 10 songs can be found in Shir HaShirim, because it's the song which encompasses the rest. Shir HaShirim requires a shiur in and of itself, because Shir HaShirim is what Rashi calls Kodesh Kadoshim, whatever that means, that it doesn't have a level of pshat, whatever that means. There's the Haymek Dover in his introduction to Shir HaShirim points out that of course Shlomo HaMelech wrote two Megillos, and they are Shir HaShirim and Koheles. Koheles is universal. It's a human being searching for meaning. That human being is searching for meaning in any which way he can, and it's not necessarily about religion. It's not necessarily about, there is ultimately the connection back to God, but it's a person searching in his own way. That's Koheles. That's sung on Sukkot, which is the universal festival. Shir HaShirim is on Pesach, where we were chosen as a nation, where we're unique, where the relationship is a bit between Israel and Hashem. That's the relationship of Shir HaShirim. It is the uniqueness as opposed to the universality of humanity, which is contained in Shir HaShirim itself. The other option for the 9th song is a very unusual place, and you need to go to the very, very, very depths of Divrei HaYamim Beis to see the song. What happens is that Yehoshaphat, one of the later kings of Israel, is being attacked by Moab and Bnei Ammon. And he gets up and he says a beautiful speech, and he says, Hashem, you gave us the Beis Hamikdash. You saved us. You gave us all of history. How can you let it all disintegrate in the hands of Ammon and Moab? And that's the first section of Source 39. What he does is on the second page, on page 12, starting from, it goes, Beis Chof Yudalet. The Beis is Dirayon. Beis Chof is the Perik, Yudalet is the Pasuk. V'yachaziel ben Zechariah ben Benoyah ben Yael ben Matanya ha-Levi ben Bnei Asaf. So one of the Levim gets up and says, Ha'isol of Ruach Hashem b'soich ha-kohol. He has this epiphany, this godly epiphany amongst the rest of the people. V'yomer ha-kshivu kol Yehudav Yosho Yushulai v'amelech Yehoshavad. Listen, everybody. He says, Kol mar Hashem lochem atem al tiru v'al teichasu mipnei ha-amon ha-orav hazeh. Ki lo lochem ha-milchama le-ki lo lochem hu. This war is not yours, it is for Hashem. Mochor redu aleihem. Hinom olim b'male b'male atzitz u'matzasem o'sam b'soif anachal p'nei midbar Yeruel. You're going to find them. This is where you're going to find them. Attack them there. And then In jumping to Pasuk Yud Ches, Vayikod Yehoshafat Apayim Artsa, he bows, he prostrates himself down. V'kol Yudav Yeshua Yisrael Nafli Lifnei Hashem, Nishlach Vos LaHashem. They bow down to Hashem. The next morning, Vayakum Alavim Minei Akrasim Minei Akarchim LaHalel LaHashem Elokei Yisrael V'kol Gadol LaMala. They get up the next morning to praise Hashem. Vayishkimu B'Bokeh Vayetzim Nivad to Koel. And he goes on to say, describe in the Pesukim in Pasuk Chof Aleph, they set up shop to sing as they're going out to battle. As they start to sing, as the song is being sung is when the ambushes are being perpetrated and the enemy falls. And that's the song of Yehoshaphat, which is described in Tanakh over here. What's interesting about the song? The song is being sung
before the miracle.
Isn't that amazing? They've been given wind of the miracle, but they're singing as the battle's taking place. Isn't that amazing? That's what's going on in the song. This is important for us as we come back to the missing song. The last song, ultimately, over here, is the song which is to be sung. This is mentioned... What was that?
Armies have marching songs.
Okay, yes. Well, this is not a marching song because this is about Hodol Hashem. You're right. This is the, you know, it's a.
Why couldn't this be a marching song?
Because it's about Hashem, you're great to us. And they're sitting on the adjoining mountaintop. It's not in the battle itself. We'll see why in just a second. The Yeshaya refers to this in a number of places. He says in Source 40, Bayomahu Yushara Shira Zeber Etz Yehuda. There's going to be a song which is sung in the mountains of Yehuda. There's beautiful tunes to this that we sing on Yom Yerushalayim as you're going to the Old City. There's a march from Merkaz Arav to the Old City in the middle of the night. And they sing the song as we're entering. If you can imagine the atmosphere, 2 o'clock in the morning, there's thousands of people as they're singing these words as they're entering the Old City through Shar Yafa. You can just imagine the scene. It's beautiful. Another place it says is Bayomahu. He says, Psalms 43, Shir Hashem, Shir Chadash. There's going to be this ultimate song. What, you know something interesting about this song? It is in masculine. Do you notice that? All the Shiras up to now have been feminine. Shira, now it is Shir. Now it is song. The Midrash comments on this, and that is because a feminine, this is not about gender roles, but this is about the permanence of the pain. And that is that the way the Midrash says it is that childbirth can occur and reoccur. That it's never final. Although there's great blessing which is yielded through the childbirth, it can't happen again. Whereas when you talk about the Shir Chadash in the future, it's going to be a song which is without pain. It's going to be a song where there's going to be a salvation which doesn't have recurring pain which follows there afterwards. Where is this expressed? You know where this is expressed halachically? Is in the Seder, the night of the Seder. The Taz brings the Tur who says that in fact that's why we say at the end of the Agada, We talk about that we should say in front of you a Shir Chadash. Meaning, the Shir that we sing in the Halal is because what happened in Mitzrayim, but after Mitzrayim it came up and came down, it came up and came down. We hope to sing in the future the ultimate song, which will be a permanent song, which won't be a song that will be continued suffering, even for good cause. And finally, the missing song. What's the missing song in all the Tanakh? The song which could have been the song which Chizkiyahu HaMelech did not sing. Chizkiyahu HaMelech has this remarkable miracle. All of Sancheriv's troops are around Yerushalayim. They've already exiled the northern kingdom of Yehuda. They are the empire that be. And nonetheless, all their troops overnight die. Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin that if Chizkiyahu had sung song at this moment, this would have been the battle of Gog or Magog, and this would have been Mashiach. He could have been Mashiach at this point in time, and he didn't sing Shira. This is fascinating in terms of common era. Many people I've heard say is that this is what 67 could have been. Meaning, if there's an ability to be able to turn around and say, wow, Hashem, thank you so much, as opposed to, look at the military strategy, then maybe we would have been able to even enter into that realm of Chizkiyahu would have been able to get into, which is what the missing song is. The reason why this is important is because if you look in Tanakh, Chizkiyahu actually does sing. If you look in Tanakh, there actually is a song of Chizkiyahu Melech. It says the Shlach HaKadosh, Parshas B'Shalach. You know what's happening over here? Let's just all close. Because Chizkiyahu HaMelech sang only afterwards. He only sang about the salvation. He didn't sing about the suffering as well. The true song, which is going to be, is where incorporated into the song is either that occurs like Yehoshaphat during the time of suffering, Lord refers to the suffering itself in the song as well. Not just exultant about the ultimate end. That's what was missing in Chizkiyahu's song. Where do you see this? Says the Mishpat Zohar, who's a commentary on Sefer Shoftim on Shiras Tevorah, from his own idea that it's in many midrashim, we don't realize what they're saying. In Source 47, the Sifra says, "Imras Amarta Gedola Shira Sheyesh Bo Achshav Veyesh Bo LeShavar Veyesh Bo LeAsid Lavoi Veyesh Bo LeOlam Abba." A song. What makes something a song? What makes something a shira of the top ten? Is something which doesn't just incorporate the now; it incorporates the past and incorporates the future. And like Ozzy Osbourne, where you're looking at the holistic picture of the bigger picture of things. Where Nadal Marishan is looking at the world and saying, "I understand there's a bigger picture of what happened to Cain over here, not just the fact that I experienced the Shabbos." And that, says the Mishpat Zohar, is why there's a very unique, strong song structure which is incorporated into many of the songs, which is Ariach Al Gabe Levena. Ariach Al Gabe Levena means to say there are gaps. When you have that brick structure, the bricks aren't next to each other. There's gaps between them. Part of the song is singing about the gaps, the parts that we can't see in history still. Even at the end, we still don't understand fully. Do we understand why all those Jews died in the darkness? We don't. Those are the gaps in Ozzy Asher. We still sing about them. That's what the Shira is, says the Sifra. It's on the Achshav, it's on the She'avar, it's on the Asid Lavar. That perhaps is one of the common denominators of all these songs. We're going to stop over here. Rabbi Chanan ben Nachash Omer, Ratzal Gosh Baruch Hu, Lezakos Yisrael, Lefich HaFi Bola, Mitzvah Shinemar, Adonai Chavetz, Seman Tzikoy, Yag Gil Torebi Adi.